The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Wheels up Wednesday. Yep, it is time. Eric Peters will be joining me in 20 minutes. Always a great conversation on transportation and politics and the intersection thereof. And I was just reading that Eric lost his privileges from Mercedes-Benz. Mercedes-Benz said that he would that they would no longer send him any cars for review. So his press review privileges have been revoked. And it was an interesting story. I'm sure we'll talk about this more. But essentially, Eric had the question to ask, hey, wait a minute, this Hyundai is practically the same car as your Mercedes thing, and it's about double the price. And the Mercedes people were not impressed. They were not impressed. Even though, yes, it looks the same and it has just about the same motors in it and everything else. Electric motors. See, this is the issue he was talking about with electric cars, that essentially you have, cell phone appliances with motors attached to them on wheels. And so to sit there and say that you're going to charge $75,000 for your electric skateboard while another company will charge $37,000 for their electric skateboard is, how's that going to work? And the people at Mercedes were not pleased. We'll talk with them about that coming up. Hey, couldn't help but notice that that story there from Marcus Field from NBC5 just a few minutes ago. I was just mentioning that during the news break, that Rogue X ended up being evacuated Monday night because of the smell of smoke. Everybody's okay. You know, fire department showed up. Everything's okay. They're open. Everything is just normal now. But apparently they couldn't find out what the smell of smoke was coming from. And I just want to let you know, over at Medford Parks and Recreation, that is the smell of millions of dollars of taxpayer money burning. That's all it is. Okay, that's all it was. You just got a little whiff of it. Nothing to be concerned about. Everything is open just fine. All right. Hey, 12 minutes after 6. You know, we haven't done one of these reports for a few days. And needless to say, the state of Oregon certainly has its problems. We no doubt about that, and we certainly have an excrement show in some ways, especially in the state legislature, and the Republicans that are responding with battered wife syndrome kind of votes. Okay, maybe if I vote with the Democrats some more, they'll love me more, and they won't love you. Okay, but nothing tops it quite like California. We haven't done one of these for a few days. A late great Golden State update.
In the late great Golden State, it's getting hard to negotiate when you what slipped from a grim fate. In the late great Golden State.
As you say, nothing makes us feel better in Oregon than to make fun of what you're doing in California. I know that Joel and Minor Dave from over in the Iron Gate, you know, they probably agree with this. They call in, but nothing makes us feel better than seeing, as weird as it is in California, or is in Oregon, rather, California is worse. Okay, so I have four stories this morning to make Oregonians feel better. All right? You just, enjoy the problems of somebody else having. What, Schadenfreude, right? Is that what they call that? Fox Business reporting today. Labor group demands California's $20 minimum wage for fast food workers extend to all sectors. Fair Wage Advocacy Group is demanding that the new $20 minimum wage be going to everybody to help working-class people who are struggling with the state's high cost of living. Fox Business speaking with Saru Jayaru. Boy, buy a vowel. Saru. Anyway, the president of One Fair Wage to discuss what she described as the skyrocketing levels of home insecurity and food insecurity post-pandemic. Fast food workers winning a $20 minimum wage, she said, was just the beginning. She points to the exorbitantly high cost of living in the Golden State, where in some counties an individual would need $40 an hour salary to live comfortably. So apparently they're wanting, you know, the pulse, just having a pulse and showing up and maybe able to grunt through the speaker is $40 an hour, I guess. So that's what the labor group is asking for in the late great Golden State. Meanwhile, in the late great California, Burger King franchisee, businessman who owns about 140 Burger King franchises in California has just announced this in the New York Post. They're going to slash workers' hours and start rolling out self-service kiosks to cut down on labor costs in response to the new $20 minimum wage. Haraj Ghai. There are no Bob Smiths in California anymore. Have you noticed that? Haraj Ghai, who owns 180 fast food restaurants throughout the Golden State, including BK, Taco Bell, and Popeyes, tells Business Insider, "We can't move fast enough on this rollout." In other words, we can't fire the workers fast enough. Meanwhile, the labor group demanding the $20 minimum wage for everybody, while the people who would actually hire the everybody are saying, no, we're not going to do that. Third story in the late, great Golden State update. California lost track of $24 billion spent to combat the homelessness. Man. Like I said, we're already feeling better about Oregon's homelessness money, right? $24 billion. They did an audit on this one. California Governor Gavin Newsom's administration, this in Breitbart, they now admit they lost track of $24 billion the taxpayers ended up spending over the last 5 years to try to curb the state's homelessness crisis. This according to the latest audit from the California State Auditor's Report. Multiple gaps in accountability in regards to how the money was allocated during the 2018 to 2023. But anyway, conservatives around the state now demanding answers, with California Assembly Republican leader James Gallagher calling out Newsom directly. I'm sure that Gavin Newsom is really, really scared, just like Governor Kotek is really scared when, you know, the House Republican leader in Salem says, "You gotta do something about this." Guys, remember, you ended up voting away your opportunity to actually hold the Democrats accountable, as an example, on Measure 110. If you didn't go with that thin piece of gruel 4002, the Dems would have had to face the fact that 110 was going to be repealed entirely. But then that would have ended up cutting off the knees of the rackets here, the homelessness industrial complex rackets. Okay, so I'm sorry, that's making you feel bad about Oregon again. Back to making you feel better because California is so much worse, all right? Craig Bannister on MRC TV reporting. Farmers, truckers warning California that the emissions mandates will cause a catastrophic supply chain crisis. A federal court's ruling the other day that California can independently set zero emission standards for trucks and tractors and everything else. And they say this is going to cause a lot of lost jobs. It's what the nation's farmers are warning. But, you know, what do the farmers know about climate change? They just grow food that you eat, probably, right? A court decision ruled against a 17-state lawsuit against California's Biden administration waiver, allowing it to set its own emission standards. One of the problems with this is that when you let California do it, everybody ends up building all their vehicles to fit California. So everybody essentially lives under the late, great Golden State's standards. That's the kind of thing. Ohio trucker Monty Wiederhold tells Fox, if this mandate ends up coming with zero emissions, if they go forward with this nonsense, we're going to be the supply chain crisis on steroids. We're going to be in some third world country type status where you're going to the store or stand in line and the shelves are empty because that's what's going to happen. The overwhelming cost of complying with zero emission standards, especially if they're adopted by other states. Oregon would never do something that as stupid as what California does, right? Okay. Back to us needing to feel better because California's stupid. Okay. Obviously, they say this is going to cost untold millions, billions of dollars that we have no way how we're going to pay for it. But this is like electrification of the trucking system. And no, that just doesn't work. So that's what the farmers and the truckers are saying. But anyway, I hope you feel better because as weird as it is in the state of Oregon, California is even weirder. In the late, great Golden State. And that is the late, great Golden State update for Wednesday, April 17th. You're welcome for feeling better now about Oregon.
Well, you know, a doorless Tobin's Paws we both recommend.
Lamont here from Orly Stoves and Spas. Are you tired of those huge heating bills? Just to stay warm and comfortable in your own home? Then now is the time for a new wood, gas, or pellet stove from Orly Stoves and Spas. Orly's has Southern Oregon's largest inventory with over 400 stoves in stock now. Never be cold again. And for a limited time, receive a 30% tax credit on qualifying wood or pellet stoves and installation. Are you ready for a relaxing spring and summer enjoying your new pool, swim spa, or hot tub? Then Orleans has everything you need. We are fully stocked on Splash Around above ground pools and accessories. Orleans is Southern Oregon's largest cow spa dealer with over 55 spas and swim spas in stock now, as well as the shortest lead time of any dealer in the valley on any special order. Don't forget to ask us about our easy financing. Orleans Soaps and Spas at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway, Medford, 541-779-5340.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Did you also know that research has concluded people have almost as much fear about finding a new dentist as they do about going to the dentist? Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Johnson, and here at Dental Excellence, we value the confidence and trust our patients have in us. My 20 years of experience and thorough training equals comprehensive dental care. From creating that perfect filling or doing that perfect root canal in my dental microscope, to restoring a patient's confidence with implant-supported dentures, we can do it all here at Dental Excellence. For those who need, I am highly trained and certified in IV sedation and the art of creating a comfortable, relaxed, stress-free environment. Are you looking for friendly, compassionate, personal care? Come and join our excellent dental family.
Call 541-779-6170 today for a free consultation. Dental Excellence.
Dental Excellence. Changing lives, one smile at a time.
Hi, I'm Randy with Diner 62, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
22 after 6. By the way, before we get to the phones, and by the way, you can call 770-563-3770-KMED. I wanted to give you probably the number one national story. Seven jurors sworn in for the Trump trial. More to come. Epic Times reporting that a selection process is going to continue. They need to pick another five today, make up the 12 jury panel. This is for the Stormy Daniels, hush money, you know, this whole fake put-up job that that somehow the Stormy Daniel legal thing was paying it off through Michael Cohen was illegal. It was a fraudulent business expense, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, potential jurors faced hours of questions yesterday. Dozens of potential members quizzed on their marital status. And, you know, and Judge Juan Merchan ended up ruling that the juror who joined an election victory parade for President Joe Biden was not disqualified because the juror claimed she thought it was a celebration of essential workers. the same workers that are going to go away with the $40 an hour minimum wage like we were talking about in California. But anyway, so seven jurors sworn in. I think the best meme that I saw, does anybody remember the meme lady that was doing the Trump derangement thing in some protest in D.C. I think this was in D.C. a few years ago. And she was, young liberal woman with the glasses. It's the uniform plus the bob haircut. And she was the one that's smiling at first. And then she's so angry. She's like that. Some guy put out a meme with the seven jurors. This is the seven jurors sworn in for the Trump trial. And it was seven of her pictures. Same woman. That's probably what it's going to be. I hope not, but this is New York City, after all. Okay, so we had the late, great Golden State update. We have to take it back to Oregon then.
I'll sing for the place that my heart is called home, where the salty Sierra meets the cold mountain snow, where I'm free to be healthy and happy and strong and live long in Oregon.
Okay, we go to South Jackson County, where Tom is in talent. And Tom was over at the co-op the other day, and he was going to explain to us what's happening in the real Oregon, the real update. How are you doing this morning, Tom? Welcome.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, I'm chuckling.
If you can't have a little fun with us, why not? What's the point?
Yeah, right? I mean, the absurdity, everything that's going on, anyway, I was what the Ashland Food Co-op's doing is you know how at different stores they say, well, do you want to just donate your coins, extra coins for the charge to blah, blah, blah? So, you know, right. You get a
Yeah, you get that Roundup kind of thing. You get that in a lot of places too, right? What a Roundup to. Whatever.
So the co-op is doing it for a climate action plan and so forth. And yesterday I was there, and the guy asked me about that, and he said, "Well," I said, "what's the Roundup for?" And he said, "Well, the climate action." I said, "Oh my!" I said, "Oh my God! This is four molecules in 10,000, and not even one of them is man caused. And you think that's causing global warming?" And he got miffed.
Believe me,
he got miffed and so forth. So we had a little exchange, but the co-op doesn't understand. You know, you just mentioned California. They want zero emission tractors out there and zero emission semis delivering food.
Yeah, they're not going to be getting their organic produce coming from the San Joaquin Valley, will they?
Yeah, so the co-op doesn't understand that they're shooting the farmers in the head by supporting this climate action nonsense. It's so counterproductive and so contradictory, but they can't see it. They're just stupid as a fence post about it.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily stupid. Certainly, the innumeracy is a problem in our culture. You know, innumeracy, the inability to grasp large number concepts, you know, the concepts of numbers. It's pretty common. You know, most of us have. Well, can any of us even imagine what a million is, much less what would be 400 parts per million, right? Like you were just talking about, of carbon dioxide.
Yeah. Well, that's why I put it four in 10,000. You know, 420 parts per million sounds like a lot. But when you say, well, that's only four parts in 10,000. 10,000, you can kind of get a grasp on. So you're talking about four people in a stadium of 10,000, and it's a little more comprehensible. And when
you know what I'm going to do? You know what you just made me think of doing? I'm going to do this, Tom. I'm going to get 10,000. See, 10,000 pennies. Would that be $100? Right? No, $100. See, $1 would be $100 pennies.
Okay.
What would 10,000? So it'd be 100. So it'd be about $100, wouldn't it? Yeah, $100 worth of pennies. I want to get $100 worth of pennies and put it in a big water jug or something like that. I'll bet you I could do that. And then I would take four pennies out and put it next to the water jug full of pennies. And this is the gas that they're claiming is killing us all, right? That's another way of demonstrating that. Wouldn't that be an interesting display?
Well, I think it would. I don't know where you'd put it. I don't know if it lasts very long at SOU or the co-op. But
oh, no, no. What I'm going to do, what I'll do is that I'll put it next to my no on measures 15224, 225, 226. I got the sign behind me on the Facebook Live, so we'll just continue to, all right, here's the atmosphere, and here's the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Okay, and they're trying to tell you that you have to destroy everything for this. For the four pennies, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, we're spending trillions and trillions of dollars fighting this boogeyman, which doesn't even exist.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes right down to it, it reacts to warming more so than what it is causing the warming. And of course, we've talked with Gregory Redstone about that for years. I'm going to have to get him back on maybe for Conspiracy Theory
Thursday.
Oh yeah,
he has his new book out, so that would be absolutely great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Global warming is a good thing, he says.
Yeah, a very convenient warning is warming is what it is, okay? Tom, thank you for trying to go the good fight, and you're over there, and you're dealing with these religious zealots, and that's really what the individuals are. And I think what has happened, though, as Christianity and as organized religion in general has been, honestly, it's getting less popular. It's lower, right? Fewer people seem to have any kind of faith at all. We're probably primed to have faith in something. And so you have a majority of the people that are having faith in the religion of Mother Earth. And I really do think it's kind of a religion type thing. It has, you have your priests like Alan Journay, you know, over at SOCAN. You have to have priests, right? You have to have priests.
Yeah, for the cult. Yeah, it's a cult.
Yeah, you have to have the altar boys or altar girls like, Greta Thunberg, although she's getting a little long in the tooth now. You know, she's not as much of an adorable, cute autistic as she was a number of years ago. So you have to find somebody else now.
And it's all about mind control.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Always thoughtful. We have fun. And if you can't have fun, what's the point of having a talk show? Yeah, we talk serious stuff, but if you can't have fun with it all. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Yeah, Ron Grants Pass.
Hello, Ron. How are you?
Well, pretty good. You know, we have a new industry possibility here.
What's that?
Since they're doing away with a lot of the food that we're going to be eating, we're going to have to go to mealworms and or crickets. So I think that we have a process where the environmentalists can go out and start training mealworms and or putting on little face masks on the mealworms so that they don't produce any carbon dioxide, because they got to breathe too, you know.
That's true. That's true, because even mealworms, we'll use the Klaus Schwab way of pronouncing it, mealworms will still, even the worms will put out carbon dioxide as part of their natural life process.
Yeah, that's true. And same with the crickets. You know, maybe you can train the crickets to put the masks on the mealworms and vice versa.
Yeah. By the way, if you were ever planning on eating crickets, I was reading something interesting about that a few days ago, in which, you know, they're trying to get everybody to eat insects. You know, Klaus Schwab's not going to eat insects. You know, Bill Gates is not going to eat the insects, that sort of thing. But he just wants everybody else to. And the thing is, if you have a shellfish allergy, you do not want to eat the insects. The you know, the shell is of the insect is very similar to what's what would be on a shellfish, like for seafood. So don't do that. Okay.
Yeah, and well, you know, even if you could chew them up and eat the exoskeleton, which is what these little animals are tasked with, you'd probably end up being very much like the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz, because it goes to the joints of your body and will cause you to seize and freeze.
Yeah, it could be inflammatory with many people. Yeah, you know. So, but of course, that might be, once again, this might be, I know it's not Conspiracy Theory Thursday, but this could be like considered a, not a bug, but a feature. Not a bug, no pun intended. Okay. All right. Thanks, Ron. And let me grab one more. I got to get Eric Peters on here. We got to talk cars and more. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
This is Vicky from the Applegate.
Hello, Vicky from the Applegate. Hey, I was just reading that there's a guy out in the Applegate that could be going to prison for a 2022 shooting in the Applegate. Did you read about that story the other day?
Oh, no. But, yeah, we've had a lot of, like, deaths up here, shooting, and a few years back.
So, in other words, if you want to play a little bit fast and loose with the law, you go out in the middle of the Applegate, right?
You do. They say people, you know, can bury people out here, and you never find them. So
shoot, shovel, shut up. Okay, yeah, got it. Well, yeah, I'll get back to your call here, but this was a news story, though, the other day. Douglas Walker, a 66-year-old, he pled guilty last Thursday to unlawful use of a weapon and fourth-degree assault. They could have charged him with first-degree murder or attempted murder, but they decided not to. So he could go to jail. That's for a 2022 shooting out there. You know, shoot, shovel, shut up. But anyway, now back to what you wanted to talk about, Vicky. I'm sorry I manhandled you there.
It was really funny about the mealworms, you know. What are they? Is it going to get so bad that they're going to start, like, monitoring people's farting? I mean, there's a lot of people that fart in this world. Like, sometimes people are over-farting.
Oh, my gosh. I have to tell you. If we get to that point, I am in so much trouble. The alarm will be going off behind me. I had black beans in a taco yesterday.
Oh,
I had black beans and eggs and things like that. And so you could only imagine what it would be like if I had one of those methane meters, you know.
Well, exactly. And I mean, it's getting so ridiculous. I mean, I just see that, like, them running out of animals to blame for carbon monoxide. And
then you have to blame us, right? You got to blame. But you see,
turn on humans.
But ultimately, that is it. The entire agenda is an anti-humanist sort of situation. And
yeah, exactly.
you can see where, I don't know if you remember, I talked a number of months ago. I got to get him back on. I'm still picking through the book, Joe Allen's book, Dark Eon, in which he delves into the transhumanist agenda, which is really kind of a satanic agenda. All of the big high techie types, even the Elon Musk types, that their whole big thing is to upload your brain and live forever in the cloud, in the machine, in the artificial intelligent, kind of world. And you could see them leveraging that kind of thing. Well, you know,
regular people, you're destroying the planet. And, you know, if our minds live forever in the cloud, well, that'll save Mother Earth. You know, you could see that kind of what?
Well, what's really weird is I live in the Applegate. I go to town.
Mm-hmm.
People are shocked that I do not have cell service at my house, shocked that I do not have the internet. And the only clouds, Bill, I want to look at are the ones in the sky, not up above where everybody else has all their information, but God-given clouds that are floating by.
All you right. I mean? Just for that, Vicky, you're getting a real American salute, all right? Thank you. All right. Now go out there and start farming some mealworms in the backyard, okay?
Oh my God, yes. I just got shots in my knee, so I'm not allowed to do anything for a few days, but you can bet I'm gonna be worming.
All right. Yeah, get worming. Worming farming. It's 6:36. With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware. Their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10. News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Jury selection resumes tomorrow in former President Trump's New York criminal trial. The court stands in recess today. Yet deadly fire on a New York City street corner last night. The masked and hooded gunmen were riding scooters. The NYPD says one victim was killed, several other people injured, around 6 p.m. in the Bronx. Several Russian missiles have hit an apartment building in northern Ukraine, killing at least 11 people. More than a dozen others were injured in the attack. Israel's military is vowing to retaliate for last weekend's Iranian missile and drone attacks, but how and when, we don't yet know. And former Democrat U.S. Senator and two-term Florida Governor Bob Graham has died. He was 87 years old. The opening bell just sounding this morning on Wall Street, and stocks are starting off the day modestly higher. More details at srnnews.com.
It has been confirmed. Those brave Americans who are trying to preserve free speech continue to be censored, shadow banned, or silenced. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to share the liberating ideas of some of America's brightest and most free thinkers. People like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry, whose ideas are putting financial control back in the hands of everyday people, helping them protect their money against a government that seems intent on destroying it. Text TRUTH to 76626 to find out more. As this election moves forward, we just released a report that reveals our three favorite ideas for protecting and growing your wealth during the 2024 election. These ideas are especially critical if you have an IRA or 401k. Text TRUTH to 76626. Discover ideas that are so simple and actionable, they might save your retirement. Text TRUTH to 76626 now for your free report. That's TRUTH to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply.
Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those individuals who currently or have previously served this great country and our local communities. As a small token of our respect and appreciation for their service, we extend our Heroes discount to all active or veteran military personnel and to our active or retired first responders. There is no way to completely repay your dedication to the protection of our country and communities, but we will do what we can.
Who'll Stop the Rain is a classic 1970 hit from Creedence Clearwater that reached number 2 on the U.S. Billboard Pop Singles chart. While Millett Construction doesn't know the answer to John Fogerty's question, they do know how to fix your home's foundation if moisture is making it unstable. So don't worry about clouds of mystery pouring confusion on the ground. Millett will fix your foundation, level your house, and solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Visit MillettConstruction.com for a free consultation.
As the Montana roofing crews travel around Southern Oregon, they like to keep things interesting.
You know, we've been doing so many roofs around the valley, there's not many areas where we don't see our past work.
Ooh, like that one.
Yep, the whole metal package. Roof, siding, flashing, gutters.
Tile job.
Oh, yeah, that's a beauty. Luxury home on the hill with tile and copper accents.
Shake.
That traditional barn looks great with that fading shake roof. That one was tricky.
I'm up like three zip.
Oh, wait, I didn't know this was a competition.
Composite. Jinx. Maybe we should just Rochambeau for that one.
Rochambeau? I'm driving. A tie goes to the driver.
Okay, well, I'll give you that one. Metal, you're kidding. Destroyed. 4-1.
Oh, this isn't fair. I got to keep my eyes on the road, and I can't look around and see what else is going on.
While the Fontana Roofing crew has fun on the way, they're all business when they arrive at your job site. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
Wheels up Wednesday. I can't drive 55 kilometers or miles. I don't know. In Germany, it could be the case. Yes, the final solution. Talk with Eric Peters. Eric Peters is the automotive journalist and genius at epautos.com. And we're still out on the open road big time. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of forgot how good Sammy Hagar is sometimes.
Oh, yeah. In his heyday, he was outstanding.
Yeah. And the thing is, I was watching a YouTube video of him, by the way, and he was singing Bad Motor Scooter with, you know, which was the first song he did with Montrose, I think, back in the day. And he was singing it with Def Leppard. And it was outstanding. It's like they're all in their 70s. I think there's something about their and it was keeping young by going out there and drinking beer and rocking hard. I think that must still be, you know, part of what it is. You're just having fun, really.
Well, yeah, and Sammy always had more talent as a singer. He's a much better singer than David Lee Roth, who I love. But David Lee Roth was a front man.
Yes.
You know, his main thing was to entertain you, not to sing. And, of course, now that he can't do that anymore because he's old and he can't dance around anymore.
And he hasn't been able to sing for about 15 years, really.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Okay. So, Eric, let's talk about some what stuff's going on epautos.com. This is where you go every day, catch up on transportation and politics, and a lot of good commentary at the going on in there, too. And you put up a new one. Of course, I was reading it last night getting ready for today's show and saying, what's Eric been up to the last day or two? So I went there. But this one you just put up, indefinite driving bans. This is the end game, the final solution in the climate change religious cult, right? What are we looking at
here? And you use precisely the right terminology because it's coming from Germany, where we heard that word or that phrase used in the past. And as you said, they're saying the quiet part out loud now, you know, the Endsieg, the final victory over driving, which will be to prevent you from driving. So the German Minister of Transportation has said that if Germany does not achieve the carbon reduction goals set forth by former Chancellor Angela Merkel from East Germany, by the way, then the government may just decree driving bans, indefinite driving bans, beginning on weekends. But, of course, once they establish that principle, then that will be extended, and ultimately you'll be hoofing it, and that's how you're going to move around in Germany. And, you know, if you think you're safe here in America, don't, because the same mentality exists in Washington and many other states, and that's what they're itching to do, and that's what ultimately this is all about.
I'm still saying that that ropes could be very effective on certain people, but did I say that out loud? I shouldn't say that out loud.
Well, sometimes. You know, the thing to say out loud is that these people are not reasonable people. We're not talking about people that you can come to some kind of a middle ground accommodation with. They're going to continue to push and push and push until they make it impossible for most of us to drive a car, because that's not what they want is for us to be herded into their urban cores where we're allowed to go places on government transportation only, and that way they can control us. You control a population by controlling its mobility and controlling its food, and it's as simple as that.
Which is why I think we, the people, need to become ungovernable, by these types of individuals, because they are not reasonable individuals. I was even talking, late great golden state update earlier this morning, because talking about California's ridiculousness makes us feel better in Oregon. Okay. You just have to understand. And one of the stories I was talking about, how the farmers and the truckers are warning that the California emission mandates that essentially end up being the mandates for the country, because it's the largest market here so far, will cause a catastrophic supply chain crisis because there are not going to be zero emission trucks taking products in and out of California and food in and out of the San Joaquin Valley in Northern California into other places of the country. It does not exist, and it is not affordable either, even if you could get it, right?
They will potentially have these so-called zero-emissions electric trucks. The problem is that they are going to be vastly more expensive, and they're going to go vastly less far. So the result will be that you will pay significantly more for what food you still are allowed to get.
That's what you are allowed to get.
You may not get any food at all because it takes forever to get it from A to B.
And the other aspect of it is that California still doesn't have the renewable power to be able to charge up the entire transportation infrastructure. Doesn't exist. Right now, they're telling people, all right, in the summertime, when it's hot, people have their air conditioning on, they'll tell people, don't charge your cars. They've already been doing this. They've been doing this for years now.
Sure. The paradox is that EVs are only viable as a practical vehicle if they can be regularly fast charged. And the problem there is that in order to do that, you have to find somehow, where is it going to come from, megawatts of electricity to feed these things. And it doesn't exist. And it's telling that the same people who are pushing these EVs are doing absolutely nothing. In fact, they're doing everything they can to decrease the amount of generating capacity that's available in the country.
It's as if they are doubling down on killing people, ultimately. And these people will ultimately have to be treated as people who are trying to kill people. What do we do with people? What do we do with people who are trying to kill people? We throw them in prison is what we do.
Yeah.
You know?
And understanding that that's what their motive is, ultimately, is extremely important. And, you know, it's incredibly important to stop giving these people the benefit of the doubt that they mean well, that they're misguided. No, when they speak of carbon, they are referring to human beings, and they want to eliminate carbon, which is their way of saying they want to eliminate human beings.
Indeed. And it's a great article up on epautos.com, Indefinite Driving Bans. So they're just talking about this. And I wonder if, when the transportation ministry in the latest iteration of the Reich, if you want to call it that, in Germany, is this one of those things where the wealthy, once again, are able to buy their way out of the driving ban? I can't help but think that that'd be one of those situations where you pay a high tax.
No doubt they're going to have something similar to what they already have, which is that there are official use vehicles, right? Mm-hmm. You know, for the nomenklatura, the apparat, whatever you want to call them, they're not personally owned, but nonetheless, the people in the leadership cadre have access to vehicles, just like they have access to airplanes. Mm-hmm. And they will continue to use them, and they'll wash their hands of it and say, well, you know, we're public officials, and we're just doing the public's business.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah, we're way too important to have to stay home. Mm-hmm. Got it. All right, epautos.com. If you wanted to talk with Eric, ask him a question about anything we've been talking about, and maybe weigh in with an opinion on this, too, which people are allowed to do on epautos.com. Great conversation going on there. Just call 770-5633, 770-KMED. I wanted to ask you, we'll talk about your current review here in just a minute, but I wanted to ask you about a past review. It was a few weeks back that you had reviewed, I think it was the Hyundai Venue, which was one of the
small crossover.
Yeah, small crossover. And Linda and I were thinking about looking at that. Our vehicle stock is pretty old, and we were thinking, okay, maybe we have one vehicle which is a little bit newer, but we don't need a whole lot. And we don't want to spend $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 for some of these new vehicles, but we wouldn't mind having something a little bit newer. And you were pretty pleased with the Hyundai Venue because it's under $25,000 even when it's loaded, right? Which is not bad.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, these days,
it's one of the few value propositions in a new car that's still available.
What I was wondering about though is what about the durability of the engine? Because the commentariat was talking about some problems that were happening with Hyundai engines. Maybe this was with a few years ago, though, and maybe that has been taken care of. Because one thing you liked about the Venue is that it has a four-cylinder 1600cc engine, kind of like a standard four-banger, but it's not turbocharged, which means it's not going to be highly stressed, but still seems to work pretty well. What happened?
Well, that's a key to longevity. If you're talking about 12, 13, 14, 15, 20 years down the road, if you want a vehicle to run reliably for that long, you probably do not want to get a turbocharged engine. With regard to the problem,
which is hard to avoid sometimes these days because they're taking very small engines and turbocharging them big time.
Yeah, and that's why I like the Venue, because it's sensible. You know, like you said, this is just a little appliance. It's perfect for somebody who just wants an A to B vehicle that's going to be reliable, and who cares how quickly it gets to 60. It gets there fast enough. It's serviceable.
Right.
So that's a real virtue. Now, Hyundai did have some issues with their early GDI, gas direct injected engines.
Okay.
And for people not familiar with gas direct injection, the typical port fuel injection system you find in a modern car operates at around 35 to 40 pounds. These gas direct injection systems operate at 2,000 or 3,000 pounds of pressure, if you can imagine that. And so what happens is this fuel is sprayed inside the cylinders at that kind of pressure, and sometimes it will end up seeping past the rings and wash the cylinders down. And, of course, then there's no lubrication or not as much, and you have accelerated wear inside the cylinder, and that leads to excessive oil consumption. And Hyundai did have some issues with that a few years ago, and supposedly they've been sorted out. I hope they've been sorted out, but we won't know until we have the actual data from several years accumulated of these vehicles being out there in real world service.
But the Venue is not direct injection. Now, see, direct injection, like I said, I guess you get a little bit better mileage with it, right? Isn't that the reason?
Yeah, there's absolutely. It's just like ass, our favorite thing, automated stop-start.
Yeah.
It's one of these things that's of zero benefit to you as the owner of the vehicle. It helps the manufacturer eke out another maybe 2 miles per gallon out of an engine, all else being equal, which is a trivial irrelevance for most buyers. But it helps them comply with the regulatory regime, and that's why you see so many direct injected engines nowadays.
Yeah, and what happens with these direct injected engines, you've talked about this before, is that you have to have two fuel injection systems.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have one to inject the fuel into the cylinder head, and then you have to have another small injector to spray the intake valve so that it doesn't get gooked up, right?
You have to have two different fuel circuits, but the GDI system has actually two pumps, one to bring the fuel from the pump from the gas tank, and then it gets stepped up to the high pressure. Now, to correct the problem of the GDI system, which sprays the fuel directly into the cylinder, in other words, not above the valve, so you would tend to have crudding problems on the intake valve, because in a normal system, in a port fuel system, the fuel washing over the intake valve
cleans
will prevent carbon fouling.
Yeah, cleans.
So to correct that, they've added a separate PFI circuit whose sole purpose is to wash down the intake valve to prevent the problem of carbon fouling.
Okay, and maybe it'd just be better to have port fuel injection, but that's just me. Okay, all right, fine.
Or TBI, frankly. It's interesting. If you go back to the early days of fuel injection, which is, the mid-80s, TBI gave you 90% of the benefits of a PFI system with a much simpler system, a much less complicated and expensive system. But, of course, again, they had to go to PFI in order to achieve compliance with all of the regulatory regimes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, is the 1.6, is that a direct injected or is it port? Do we know?
I think most of Hyundai's current engines are GDI. I'd have to go back and check. I don't know offhand.
Okay, I'm just curious. Like I said, I was looking at, and other people were writing me and asking about it too, since they heard us talk about it a few weeks ago. But anyway, I might just have to go down and talk to him about it, okay?
Yep.
All right, it's 653 and epautos.com. Wheels Up Wednesday with Eric Peters. We'll go to the phones if you have questions or comments, anything on your mind. Transportation and politics. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. Bob Shandon, Medford.
Hey, Bob.
Good morning, Eric.
Hey, Bob. By the way, Eric, Bob sent one of the funniest pictures of a motorcycle today. Had about it was a long motorcycle. It had about 10 or 12 lawnmower engines in it. That's like, isn't that kind of like the modern car that we're talking about?
Kind of. There's actually this brilliant British engineer who modifies old bikes from the 70s. He'll do things like take a 900cc Kawasaki inline four and make it into a V8, and he does such good work, you'd swear it was factory. You look at this thing and think,
what the heck?
And it's amazing. I've seen a bunch of his stuff at the Barber Motorsports Museum in the at the track down in Georgia.
All right, let me bring you back on, Bob. There was some big noise in the background there at your house. I don't know if there's a fan or something going on there.
That is a natural gas powered 15,000 BTU wall heater.
Oh, okay, that's what that is.
And I'll walk away from it.
Okay, thanks.
Okay,
thanks.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that was a chainsaw powered motorcycle, by the way, not lawnmower.
Oh,
but
I've got one of those in the garage. It's a two stroke.
You do?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I've got a Kawasaki triple two stroke.
Oh, hey, those are rare. Awesome.
What's your question there?
I like motorcycles, too. The question was, Eric, could you be well within your rights to go down to a local Mercedes dealer and test drive the vehicle and then write about it?
Well, you've sussed out my plan. That's what I've done with some other manufacturers that I've had issues with. They're not going to stifle me and prevent me from reporting on these vehicles.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
All right.
You might have your mugshot on the wall of the break room, though, right?
Well, that's fine. I'll smile happily. They can see my yellow teeth.
Hey, Bob, I appreciate the call. Thanks, man. I'm glad you brought that up. Because I did want to ask you about that, because I mentioned to you that you lost your Mercedes privileges because apparently you weren't I guess this has a lot to do with some of your latest reviews here, right? Why don't you give us the story?
Well, I think what happened was I really do believe that I'm fair in my evaluation. You know, people can correct me if they think otherwise, but I wrote honestly about a number of Mercedes electric vehicles that I had test driven, and that apparently didn't sit well with Mercedes corporate, and they gave me some spiel about how they had to reevaluate their press loans because of the distance involved in shipping me cars. The problem with that is they've been shipping me cars for more than 20 years. So why all of a sudden is it a problem? And I kind of called them on them and said, okay, well, how far is too far? You know, can you tell me exactly how far you can deliver the vehicles, and I'll make arrangements to get, split the difference.
Go pick it up yourself if you had to, right?
Yeah, and they just blew me off completely. And, you know, I wrote the guy a long letter and said, look, you know, I'm not trying to be hostile here. I think I'm trying to point out to you guys that by going with this electric thing, I think you are sealing the doom, the endzeug of Mercedes. Because at the end of the day, one device is like any other device. And if you think people are going to spend twice as much to get a plastic three-pointed star on their EV, I think you're probably going to want to think about it a little more.
In fact, that connects to one of your latest reviews because you said there's a vehicle which looks practically like a Mercedes, has almost the same kind of performance as the latest Mercedes EVs, but it's half the price. And
yeah, and
what
better
was that?
In some ways. You know, well, they dropped off a Hyundai Ioniq 6 a couple of days ago. And at first I thought, hey, look, it's another Mercedes EQE, which is something that I had test driven a few months prior. And it literally looks the same. You know, if you look at it, and particularly from the rear three-quarter, it has the same kind of haunch, the same kind of stance,
right,
the same overall profile. Again, the main difference between them now is that this does not have a big plastic three-pointed star in its grill, and it also costs half as much. Now, there has always been emulation in the car industry. We're all familiar with the example of Lexus that took basically a Mercedes E-Class and copied it and turned that into the original LS series Lexus sedan. And they made a lot of money selling that because there were a lot of people who thought, you know, I'd like a car that looks like a Mercedes, but that doesn't cost as much as a Mercedes, right?
Yeah, well, even look back to Pontiac. Even though the engine, the Iron Duke, wasn't appropriate, it didn't work out that well. The old Fiero. The Pontiac Fiero, because it had that mid-engine Ferrari look, and it was a beautiful looking car, although the mechanicals weren't as good, but still.
Sure. Yeah. Now the thing that's changed is that they're really the same now. You know, it was in the past, okay, you know, if you bought, let's say, a lower prestige brand that looked like a higher prestige brand, you know, if you pop the hood, you'd find a four-cylinder rather than a V6 or a V6 rather than a V8, which you couldn't get in the lower priced models. But now, if you look at this Ioniq 6, well, it's an electric car, and it's got an electric motor and an electric battery, just like the EQE. So what's the difference, pray tell?
Well, maybe the EQE has two electric motors, like the dual-motor Tesla, something like that. Maybe
so
it's a little faster.
Ironically enough, you know, it's exactly the same thing. The base model is rear drive, which is another point of differentiation, because it used to be that luxury cars were luxury-priced cars were rear drive,
right,
and the inexpensive ones were front drive. Well, Hyundai offers the Ioniq with rear drive and a single motor, or, just like Mercedes, dual motors and all-wheel drive. And ironically enough, the little Hyundai gives you more range and more power for less money, too.
Oh, boy. And a pretty nice interior, too, from what I was looking at.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same generic EV look. You know, it's got big flat-screen displays everywhere, and it even has the kind of, you know, the fancy door pulls that as you approach the car, they're flush, but they pop out, front of you, and they're backlit. Mm-hmm. And again, Mercedes brought that out first, and whoop-de-doo, look at that. This is what I'm getting for my six figures. Well, now you can get it for for a lot less than that.
So one of the weirdest things about the EV, if you want to call it the revolution, as the commies wish to push the revolution forward, though, is that it really puts pressure on what it means to be a luxury model, right? Because you're talking about pretty much of the same internals, many of the same internals, the same
It certainly undermines the case for paying more. Because after all, if you're just talking about electronics are the one thing that have been democratized and that they get cheaper and cheaper all the time. So
yep.
that everybody's got basically an iPhone now, right?
Yeah.
Even if you don't have an iPhone, you've got basically the same thing. It's just sold by some other brand. But fundamentally, it's the same thing. And that's what's happening with these EVs. And I think we're going to see a winnowing. We're going to see a massive reduction in the number of brands that are out there because it's ridiculous to have all these brands selling essentially the same thing.
Indeed. Talking with Eric Peters. Let's go to the phones here, Eric. People always have great questions for you. Let's go to line two. Hello. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Hey, Bill, it's David.
David, fire away. What's up?
You know, I've been keeping a lid on it for years, but I got a tattle on BMW. We're talking about luxury cars. So BMW, and Eric may know a lot of this probably, but they make their door and window components really, really cheap. I mean, the cheapest mm-hmm. components you can use. And so when you have to pull the door panel off of this really nice, you know, flagship X5 BMW to work on these things, you find that behind the leather of the door panel is essentially cardboard. So when
yep.
you remove the, it's kind of a fiberboard. So when you remove the door panel, you essentially break it. There's almost no way to remove it without breaking it. And the glue all comes apart. So you got two options at that point. Once you've fixed the horrible window problem or door problem, you can either glue the customer's leather door panel back on, or you can call the dealer and pay whatever they tell you for a new door panel. But, you know, inside that $75,000 car, they're making the doors out of essentially cardboard. And
wow.
That's one of the reasons why the cost of insurance has gotten so ridiculous, because as the caller says, something that should be a pretty easy repair has become an expensive replacement.
Yeah, David, by the way, is a big-time mechanic, so he knows of what he speaks. I just wanted to make it. And I appreciate
yep.
your call there, David. And let's go to line three. You're on with Eric. Who's this? Good morning. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Washington Larry.
Hey, Washington Larry. What's on your mind? You're with Eric.
Yes, great program. Hey.
Thank you.
So a customer comes up into our store a couple of weeks ago showing off his Tesla truck.
Oh,
and,
really? So he had that big thing that looks like it came out of Robocop. Yeah, the Cybertruck, yeah.
And everybody's looking at this, but I think it's going to be a dodo bird because he's got rust on his wheels already and some other problems. He said, well, I'm going to, and I got to talking to the guy. He's showing me inside the vehicle and everything, and he says, but I'm going to paint it black. Is that because this vehicle has just got so many problems that maybe it's something not to own? He says he's got one of the two vehicles in our state,
uh-huh.
or three vehicles. So what do you think about that dodo bird?
The cyber truck?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, it's functionally useless and preposterously expensive. Elon has shied away from his promise, remember, another one of his promises, that the thing was going to start around $40,000 or $45,000, whatever it was. So now it's back up to close to $80,000. And what's the purpose of it? What are you going to do with the thing? It's not really a truck. I mean, it's got a little bed in the back, but who's realistically going to use it for anything other than driving around? So it's just another toy for people who have more money than brains who want to show off what they can afford to buy. As far as the rest, I think it's got a stainless steel body, so painting it is going to be an interesting thing or a challenge for whatever body shop is tasked with dealing with that.
And Washington, Larry, aren't they bulletproof windows or really tough windows on those things too? I mean, it's next to impossible to break them. Isn't that right?
They're laminated.
Laminated, okay.
Like, you know, like the front glass, and that's one of the reasons why that woman, what was her name, Chow, died when she backed her Tesla into the pond.
They couldn't break the window.
You can't shatter it.
Yeah.
You know, even if you have a hammer, it's very difficult. It's like trying to shatter a windshield, because windshields are laminated for safety. But now the side windows are, and that makes it very hard to get out of the car in an emergency.
Yeah. So why don't you just ask your friend why he wants to paint a stainless steel car? It seems a little odd to me, Washington Larry. Okay?
Well, I don't think he likes the aluminum whatever.
Doesn't like the stainless steel look, huh? Okay.
No, it is kind of ugly, but it's just an eye catcher. It's an eye catcher. Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's ugly, but it's an eye catcher, I guess. Well, because, hey, look what you can spend. Now, you had a great article I wanted to make sure and mention here. There's actually one of the issues that we're dealing with here, because you have talked about how there are off-market or gray market vehicles that people
mm-hmm.
have been importing, like the Toyota Hilux, which is but they tend to be older models that will not meet the modern safety standards.
Yeah, they get grandfathered in because they're over 25 years old.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But you had a great article called A Step in the Right Direction.
Yeah.
Because the free state of Texas is actually getting more free, at least when it comes to vehicles. Now, it's the only one that has done this. Could you give us a little taste of that? It was a great story.
Yeah, sure. In Japan, there is a whole class of vehicles called KEI. I'm probably not pronouncing it correctly because, after all, I'm just a gringo, but it's KEI. And it refers to a class of very small, very simple, little pickup trucks. Some of them have beds with expandable bed walls that come out so you can put more, lay more things flat on them. Some of them are dump trucks. They're very inexpensive. And there are some specialty manufacturers. I've got one in my area that will import these things, and you can buy them. The problem is that in most states, it's not, you can't license and register them, so that effectively makes them useless because they're considered not compliant with all of the very latest federal motor vehicle safety standards.
Now, you could use it on your ranch or you're out in the woods or something, but you couldn't put it on the road, the regular road.
Yeah, okay. And I make the point in the article, you know, to just kind of disabuse people of this lie that it's about safety. If you were to go out and buy, let's say, a 2000 model year Mercedes S-Class sedan, it would be considered not safe either in terms of compliance with the latest federal motor vehicle safety standards. So it's just all about, you know, compliance. It's got nothing to do with safety. So anyway, Texas issued a bulletin saying ordering its DMVs to allow people to register and plate these vehicles so that they can be operated on public roads. And that's just a really, really laudatory step in the right direction. And I'm hoping that as in the case of Florida, when Florida stopped it with all the mask stuff, mm-hmm. and that sort of created a domino effect, and other states began to say enough with the masking, hopefully other states will start to say, yeah, you know what, people ought to be free to drive these little trucks if that's what they want to drive.
Now, these little trucks, you say they're relatively inexpensive, and they're kind of utilitarian, right? They're not beautiful trucks by any stretch.
They're very smart, and they're likely to be able to buy brand new here in this country, but which you can't anymore because of all of the regulatory rigmarole.
So now if you want a pickup truck, it's $50,000 minimum, and also at least 4,500 pounds of weight, too, right?
That exactly. Kind of thing. I point out that all of the current, the lower-tier trucks now, models like the Toyota Tacoma, Nissan Frontier, the Chevy Colorado, the Ford Ranger, all of those used to be little trucks, little compact-sized trucks. Mm-hmm. I've got an older Nissan Frontier. And they all used to cost around $14,000 or $15,000, and they were just great if all you needed was a basic little truck. Well, they're not basic or little anymore. They all start around $30,000 plus, and they all weigh more than 2 tons. And they're nothing wrong with them. They're just very expensive, very heavy, and there is a crying need for something simple and basic, and that's what these little KEI trucks offer to people.
How much do they cost roughly? Can you give me a range? You say they were
affordable. Oh yeah, I mean, like I've got a local importer, Duncan Imports, and they've got a bunch of used ones available for anywhere from between $9,000 and $15,000.
Wow! And they kind of remind me of the old style Toyota trucks from back in the days. The old, you remember the California Gardener trucks that you'd see back in the 60s and 70s? Kind of that sort of thing. Not beautiful, very Spartan, and just practical. That kind of thing.
Well, even more so than the stuff that we have been allowed to buy here, and that I'm going back to this business about the bed sidewalls, which you can just drop down, and you can vastly increase the cargo carrying capacity. And some of them have hydraulics and a dump bed. So, you know, go to the garden store and pick up a load of mulch or gravel, and now you can dump it instead of having to shovel it out of your bed.
Good stuff. The article is called A Step in the Right Direction. You'll find it on epautos.com. Great way to wrap this because, yeah, we do have some states, and maybe if Texas does this, maybe California will do it. Well, I don't think California probably wouldn't do it because, but maybe, you know, Oregon. Maybe
they may have to, though. You know, one of the great geniuses of the original American system was the concept of divided sovereignty, which meant that, you know, one state was more free, let's say, in an area than in another state. That imparted pressure on the less free state to be more free because people could say, you know what, I don't like the way things are in my state. I'm going to go over to this state and experience more freedom.
Very good. Step in the right direction for sure. Eric, great talk as always. We'll catch you next Wednesday, and thanks for being part of Wheels Up Wednesday every day. Okay?
Oh, you bet, Bill. Thank you for having me on, as always.